And so what I want to do is I've been talking about what prayer is not, having some fun with ourselves. Well, please, if you're listening, take it in the heart which it is meant, all right? Because I'm not going, whoa, I'm going, flip, aren't we all a wee bit mental? You know? Because we are. And sometimes in the Christian church, we're even worse. But today, what we're going to do is I'm going to talk about something from Mark 11, rather. And what I want to be, you need to be really careful, because what I've said when it comes to prayer is this. I spent a couple of weeks having a laugh, and then last week I started to simplify, and I said from Elijah, what the Lord said was earnest prayer was not when he put his head between his knees and was like, oh, come on, send the clouds. What the Lord said was earnest prayer was when he simply declared in faith, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And it didn't. And the Lord says, when he's referring back to this in the New Testament, he goes, that was earnest. And it's funny because it was just a declaration of faith. Now, I'm going to look at that today because you see exactly the same principle. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you see some of this principle in the new. Now, I heard this teaching many years ago, but I'm going to say this. There's a bit missing to the bit that I heard. And I'm going to try to make that clear today because it didn't work for me all the time. All right? And then I had to go on this journey with the Lord of trying to understand something at a very basic level, because what I'm going to talk about is sometimes called speak to the mountain, speak to your mountain, which some of you may have heard, but there's a whole bit missing, in my opinion. Oh, just about to put myself right out there and go toe-to-toe with some of the big ministries. But what I think there is something, because I'm going to tell you this. For many years, I practiced this, and I was so frustrated that it didn't work. Okay, I'll tell you one example. I thought, right, you know what, before I get to the big things, I'm going to practice on a cat that used to come into our garden. Right? This is true. So if you want me to be really, I'm thinking, right, if I'm going to cast out cancers, that flipping cat that comes and poos in our garden, watch. Right? So the thing would ding, 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 up, get out in Jesus' name. And the flipping thing would just sit and look at me. Right? Not in faith. In the name of Jesus, I command you, cat. Looking it right in the eyes. No way, cats. Look at you. Leave this garden right now. Then I'll close my eyes and go. Still sitting there. Cocking its leg, peeing against the plant. I'm obviously not in faith. I'm speaking to this thing. I mean, I was channeling everything. That's even worse. Well, I was going, right, come on. Come on. All I have to do, if I believe, and I don't doubt, the word says to me, I can look at this cat, and in the name of Jesus, it's going to leave my garden and never come back. For weeks, that pigging thing tormented me, wandering past, going, speak to what you have. And it wasn't the cat. It was what the cat signified. It signified my lack of faith and my failure. So I thought, I need to go down a level, and I'm going to practice on the inanimate objects, all right? Because there's no faith involved there. I don't care what you think of me, but I prayed over broken things in our house. You know, like TVs and all. Has anyone ever done that? Come on, be honest. Oh, in Jesus' name, work. Flipping still broken. And at every time, what I feel is my level of faith dropping. Because the Lord goes, if you just speak to your mountain, it's going to move and be cast into the sea. I'm going, I can't even get my radio to work. The cat's still going, all right, wandering past us. I'm casting the demons out of the TV, and nothing's working. Now, tell the truth. What is it in your life that you've gone, Jesus' name, because I've heard this somewhere, cast it out. Isn't it crazy? But what happens then, it leaves you feeling a wee bit disappointed. Because then you start to go, what is wrong with me that I can't do this? It's almost like I'm like Merlin the magician. Going, whoa, all right? And we have this idea, because what happens, listen to what I said a few weeks ago, and we need to be really careful. Whenever we see something that has worked before, even when it's the Lord, all right, what we cannot do is take that and make it a formula. And if we make it a formula, we have missed it completely. There are good principles, but that's not the same as going, if I do, this is going to happen. And so whenever I started to think about this and started to understand it a little bit, I started to go, well, Lord, what is it? Because it's not that it's not true. It's how am I approaching it and what do I need to see in it? And then do you know what the Lord said to me? Actually, what does the word pray actually mean? Oh, now there's a tightener. Because we talk about pray all the time. And it's I love my Greek, and I love to Greek it up a little bit. The Lord said, go and actually study it. And have a look at what to pray actually means. Then look at what Jesus did, and then you'll understand how you can speak to your mountain and see it moved. I was like, oh, okay, there's something I'm missing then. Yes, said the Lord, because what you've done is you've just gone for formula. You really don't think that cat's going to do anything other than stand there and torment you. I hate cats, that's the thing. You know, it's like, I don't even like them. I really just, okay, especially because they don't poo in their own gardens. They come to yours, don't they? Maybe that's just East Belfast cats. I don't know. Is it the same with country cats? Is it? Aye, they're bogan. You know, and I wouldn't have one around me. But there's my lack of faith. Can't even get the thing to move. And so the question today is this, all right? It's that we don't want, when we go to start to seek the answers for how we can stand in authority and what prayer means in terms of simple declarations of faith, what we must not do is make it a formula. Because that's where people have got disappointed time and time and time again over the years. I am one of them. Thinking that this is what I just need to do. Because when we look at the life of Jesus, we're going to see something today when we start to look at what prayer really means. So when the disciples were looking, going, Lord, teach us to pray. Actually, we get the benefit of seeing in the whole, in the round, of what the Lord actually did. So let's read Mark 11. We're going to go 12 to 14. First, on the following day, when they came from Bethany, that's not the chippy, he was hungry, all right? It's an East Belfast joke for somebody. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. So he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. Excuse me. And his disciples heard it. We're going to jump down now to 20. As they passed by in the morning, okay, so this is now about 12 hours later, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God, or actually have the faith of God. Have God's faith. Truly I say to you, now remember, sorry, just as I park that, remember, this is why you need to listen week in, week out to what I preach here, because we build, precept upon precept, line upon line. You understand that faith is not what you do to scrunch up your eyes to get God to move, but faith is God's divine persuasion granted to you as a gift, all right? So faith is not about what you do, because you can never create it. Faith, peace this in the Bible, means this is God's gift for you in order for you to believe. That's really important. So have God's faith, not what you can conjure up. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Now, how many of us have gone, amen, I've spoken to my mountain, and the mountain's still there? Okay, brilliant. I've got hope for you today, because there's something about this that happens just before. It'll be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. There's our key, and we pass it over all the time. You see, because before you get to speak into your mountain, there's a whole piece that goes before that. And we really need to understand it. And this started to really help me. Do you want to know what it is? And we'll come to it in 1 minute. And Luke, because let me just say again, this is not the bit of the Bible that Benny Hinn wrote. Benny Hinn didn't write any of the Bible. Neither did Brother Hagin, and we honor them and we love them. But Jesus said these words. And what happens is whenever we don't have an answer for this because of our own disappointment, we tend to buck it out and go, it doesn't apply today. Because that just leads me to disappointment. But there is such truth in there which will really help us and liberate us. Let me start by saying this. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, we get this thing in the Amplified. It says, Jesus himself would often, not once, twice, but he would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. So I started to go, right, what's going on? So whenever you start to look at what the word for prayer is in the New Testament, it's amazing. It is the word, it's a difficult one, prosex ahami, all right? It's a biggie. It's made up of two words, pros and then ex omahi, okay? You're learning something today. So pros means to come toward, and ex yohomahi means to wish or to desire. So properly, I'm just going to read this straight, because this really started to liberate me. It means to exchange wish. Literally, it means to interact with the Lord by by switching your human ideas for his wishes as he imparts faith. Okay? Literally, that's what it means. As you interact with the Lord, you take your human stuff, and as you interact with him, he exchanges that for divine faith. You get rid of your human stuff, he gives you his gift of faith so that you can believe. That's what to pray actually means. So what you see here is you see that that's why we know that prayer is so interconnected with faith, because faith comes as you pray. But pray is not, oh Jesus, help, casting out the cats from the neighborhood in Jesus' name. Oh God, will you please? Whenever Jesus prayed, what we do is we jump into the Mark 11 bit and go, okay, just speak to your mountain, all right? But our hearts are not in that place of conviction that we have faith to believe for what we're speaking to. So what did Jesus do? Jesus took himself away all the time, and he interacted, and he exchanged his weakness, and he was a man like us. He exchanged, and you see it in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't be shocked, but as he prays, he gives that to the Lord, and the Lord gives him faith instead. So whenever he comes to the place of speaking it out, he's not speaking out human wish, he's speaking out faith. But where did that faith come from? It came from that place where he was interacting with his Father. Do you get that? Because that's simply what prayer is. That's why we spend time in the presence of the Lord. Because anything outside of that is just a formula. And you will be disappointed. But we look at Jesus here and we almost cut into the story in Mark 11 where we see the boom, we see the outward bit. But we don't read into it. He often was away, taking all of that stuff, all that doubt and human idea out of himself, and the Lord just giving him divine faith instead. Remember, faith, conviction, and persuasion that God is who he says he is, that he has done what he says he will do, that every promise is true, and that every oath will never be broken, that in those moments of you and the Lord, as you give him that and he gives you this in return, so that when you open your mouth, you're speaking faith itself. Oh, man. But if you don't have that bit, yeah, when you jump into the story, it doesn't make sense. Because we just go, oh, you just speak to things. Brilliant. It doesn't work. Why? Because our hearts are not convinced. And so I see this picture of Jesus himself. Actually, in Matthew 6:6 in the Message version, he says, you know, I love the way it puts it, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Isn't that awesome? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Okay, remember that last week? I need to do enough thanksgiving and enough praise before I actually get to the meat of it. That's role-playing before God. Just be there simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. That's prayer. And our simple declarations of faith come from that place where my shift and my focus is now not on me, but it's about what he says about me. And that's why we preach grace alone. Because it's only grace alone, the unmerited favor of Jesus, that continually lifts up your head to go, you are righteous. You are favored. You are blessed. You are not, your sin is no longer counted against you. It does not really matter one jot to the Lord what mess you think your life is in, because if you're in Christ, then he says you're perfect and complete, and I will deal with you that way. And it's only that in exchange of ideas as you sit in the presence of the Lord that takes away your humanness and gives you divine persuasion that God is good. Because how can you stand to end and speak to any mountain if you don't know that your God is good? How can you do it? That's the whole thing, if you don't doubt in your heart. So how do you get rid of doubt in your heart? Well, this is what he says. This is what praying is. When I started to understand that prayer was simply an exchange, but not me role-playing, that I could only speak to my mountain when I was coming from that place of he is good, that I am loved, that if he said that, I mean, in our experience, we find this first and foremost in our baby example. You know, we had many well-meaning people. You know, we could have begged God, and we did beg God for a while. We had the spirit of infertility cast out of us. I don't know dozens of times. I'm looking back, kind of chuckling to myself. But it wasn't funny at the time. But well-meaning people, like going buck daft, casting every spirit out of me, unbelief. I had the spirit of unbelief. I had the spirit of infertility. I had the spirit of witchcraft. I had every spirit going. Seriously. How on earth I ever got up in the morning with all these spirits in me until somebody said, you've got the Holy Spirit, and he's bigger. My dad's bigger than your dad, and the Holy Spirit's bigger than them all. Really? How can darkness and light live together? Because the light has overcome the darkness. All right? So what are you believing for here? Really? So, but what happened for us is the goodness of God. And this is why we preach grace every week. This is why I stand here and I tell you, you're loved. That God is for you. That God is good to you. That there is no, where's my sin and where's my shame? Where is it? Because when we know that it is gone, and when we have that conviction in our heart, what happens is that focus, as the Lord says, get that shift away from you onto Jesus and what he has done, and then you will start to sense his grace. So that whenever you come across sickness, it's not, oh, I'm speaking to you, but really inside I have everything crossed, my toes, my fingers, and everything else. It's like, I am convinced. I know that my Jesus is a Savior who heals every sickness and disease. Boom. And that was the journey that we went on. It was the goodness of God, his character, his plan for family. And my perspective started to change because I started to sense. When it says you start to sense the grace of God, what happens is inside you start to go, hold on, he's for me. He's good to me. He doesn't want us to be childless. He does not want us to live unfulfilled. He knows the desires of my heart. And I, it was this sensing and shifting inside of me. It wasn't like a moment where it was like, oh, no, I didn't believe there, and now I believe. Because that would be dead easy, wouldn't it? If you just kind of went to the Lord one moment, went 5 minutes, oh, Holy Spirit, put on Chris Tomlin, boom, and the next thing is you're absolutely just in that plane of glory. It doesn't work like that. Because Jesus often would take himself to the place where he sat, as it says here, didn't role play, but, you know, that sort of focus away from his stuff, exchanging it, coming towards the Lord to exchange his stuff for faith. Lord, where I don't believe, you can help me to believe. Remember that? That's prayer. God, that was so releasing for me. Where I didn't need to pretend, I didn't need to try. I just needed to simply sit and meditate on Jesus and his work, meditate on Jesus and his grace. And every time I felt like, oh, no, but I'm not good enough, the Lord said, oh, no. Remember, as far as the east is from the west, I've removed it from you, so you're now righteous. But what about this stuff? This is why we can't have kids. No. My plan for you is so that you'll be blessed and whole. Really? And exchanging my humanness and my human ideas for his divine persuasion and sensing that shift in me. That's what the Lord describes as prayer. G4336, for those of you who are really interested in looking it up. G4336. God becomes bigger. The mountain was still there for us, but God became bigger. And his word and his promise began to tower over that. It's the same with money. Are you in fear? Do you find it hard to give? Are you just plain selfish? I don't know. Are you just greedy? I'm not sure. Scared of not hanging enough? Is your security in cash? Because what the Lord says, many people pray. I've heard it myself. People praying over their bank balances. That's that word of, I'm going to say word of faith, crazy stuff. Okay? Just think about it for 1 minute. That's a mental. We'll get this form. We'll just pray over it. Get your bank statements and put your hands on them and release in Jesus' name. I'm still skint. All right? I don't know. What we're thinking, the numbers are going to change. Or there's going to be like a big sort of drug dealer pile of money left in an envelope pushed through your door. Like, the Lord can do that, don't get me wrong. But think about what's happening there. When we go, actually, in my humanness, I find it hard to trust you because I think you're going to let me down. That's what's really in my heart. So all the speaking coming out of your gubby ain't going to change a thing. Because we can't manipulate God by what we say. And this is where the word of faith may actually get into trouble. Because rightly so, people have discerned, actually, there's a gap here between what we know and what just what you're saying. But a heart that's gripped by grace, a heart that is Jesus-centered and Jesus-focused, a heart that has the finished work getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as Jesus becomes bigger. And I keep exchanging those thoughts and that condemnation and all of those things in those moments for a bigger view of him and his work. Our hearts shift. We begin to shift. And I tell you that, that's whenever you start to see blessing overtaking you. Can I just give you an own word of testimony? You know, the Lord spoke to Penny and I through our friends about, you know, I was in business well before I ever started to do church. And this year in business, you kind of get to the end of the 6 months and you kind of go, flipping heck, where are we at with this? And I'm actually, at the start of this year, there was something happened. It was a relationship thing, which I felt in myself it was time for that to part, because I was trusting that relationship and not trusting the Lord. So my source was the relationship and not Jesus. Do you get that? So the Lord started to speak to me and say, you need to split. Now, every bit of work, bar two or three, that I had got up until that point had been as a result of this relationship. So I started the start of this year going, right, what am I going to do? Because in my humanness, I'm like, oh, all right. Because we need to earn money. And what I decided to do was, whatever you do, don't panic. Ah, you're that one. Whatever you do, what else can we do? There's nothing left to do. Panic. Ah, don't panic. Trust the Lord. And many, many times over the first sort of couple of months of this year, I was like, I have no idea at all where I'm going to get business from. Like, zero idea. I just need to trust that you're going to open the doors. So our decision was this. Well, one thing that the Lord spoke to us the whole of last year about was living in rest. Living in rest doesn't mean you sit in your backside and you do nothing. It means that you have active trust that he is faithful to everything. You know, you still have to go out and do the work, but the Lord gives you the work, and the fruit of the work is multiplied way beyond what you could ever do. All right? So it's not like your kind of celestial lottery ticket. That's not what the Lord says. It's good for people to work, but it's not good for people to think that they are the ones who supply, because it's him that supplies. And so, just to cut a long story short, but here we are at the end of June, and honestly, I can say that we earned more money in the first 4 months of this year than I did in the whole of last year. Okay? At the minute, I'm panicking slightly because I have more work than days. Okay? If you know any of my clients, don't tell them that. It's all sweet, and we're going to work it out. All right? We hope. Oh, we don't believe that. But what I'm trying to say is this. As we have rested, and I've allowed that sense of grace in my life to go, we're not going to advertise. We're not going to push. We're not going to manipulate. We're not going to harry. I'm simply going to trust that as I go, because my God already knows every need that I have, and he's promised that they're already met. Sense that grace, all right? I know that whatever I put my hand to is prospered and blessed already, okay? I know that I've got favor in the sight of God, number one, so therefore I have favor in the sight of men. And I've seen time after time work that I never thought I would have got at a level much better than what I would have set out to do at the start of this year. The Lord just opening the door and seeing favor, not just to open the door to do it, but when I'm in it, seeing it prospered for me and for the client. Isn't that awesome? Like, seriously? Now, I haven't spoken to my bank balance once. I haven't cast out any demons of, loose the demons of prosperity in Jesus' name. I haven't done any of that. Like, seriously, I haven't. Penny and I, but you know what the opposite has been? Every time we have sensed a little bit of urgency, we've started to go, Lord, we don't want to get out of grace and back into work, so we're just going to rest. And we're going to expect to see your favor. Now, I have worked flipping hard. Don't get me wrong. Punched in the days and punched in the hours to get it done. But there's been such blessing with it. Do you get that? But where does that come from? It comes from those moments when I feel that stress building up, going, I need to exchange this for his faith. So the exchange needs to happen. And then I'm able to speak the blessing that I see. But without that, I'm just doing a formula and it doesn't work. You see, because if you truly believe in your heart that you are the one who is responsible for your provision, well, then you're going to live with the pressure of that. You know, but in that, that's what prayer's really about. Jesus bigger. If you want to know what prayer's about, it's not about affecting God. God's not going to be affected by your prayers. He loves you. Isn't that a big shift? What's the big purpose of prayer? Teach us to pray. Jesus said, get into a place where you exchange all your humanness for faith. That's prayer. And when you do that, boom, it all starts to happen. Oh, no, hold on. I'd rather much be part of a big prayer movement. Let's go for 24/7 plus. I'm waiting for the next iteration of the next, you know, the catching the next wave. Like, seriously. You just want to tell people to chill out and relax and just make Jesus bigger. Make Jesus bigger. But when it comes to whatever it's going to be, can I encourage you that this week, what the Lord asks you to do as you go about your business is, are you mindful? Is your heart being convinced? Are you exchanging your fear, your worry, your upset in those moments for his faith, his gift? And it cuts across everything that we're about. Because when we get to the Lord, what we think we need to do is we need to bombard the gates of heaven with all our worries, all our stresses. And he says, I already know it. I'm going to work in your behalf. It's already done in Jesus. Now, can we just take this heart of yours as you rest in my presence and in my love? Can I just show you how much I love you? Can I peel away those layers of you trying for me? Can I replace that instead with favor? Because I don't want you living, as Phil says, with the mindset of a slave when I've made you to be a son. Now, what happens after? Well, you know, I'm not going to say after. The thing is, then, when you look at Mark 11, it starts to make perfect sense. I love it in Deuteronomy 28, verse 2, because Penny and I are entering into a season, and many blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Many years ago, I'm just really happy to be honest with you, okay? But it's funny, as you rest in the presence of God, you start to see things go your way. I've heard people say that, and for the last umpteen years, I've never really lived it. I've seen blessing in bits. But actually, this week, for many years, even when we were doing this church, and this is a word of testimony. Penny and I, many years ago, bought property because I was leaving my big fancy job and had no money. So we thought, well, we're going to invest for our future. So we bought some property. Always wanted to sell something, because the whole point of buying is that you sell it and make some money to support yourself. And anyone knows the history of the last umpteen years in this place. You know, if you've got a house, you know, most people are on the wrong side of it, et cetera, et cetera. And it was so funny, because there was one particular one where we got kind of stiffed on a deal many years ago, and we were lumbered with this thing. No way I've ever been able to sell it. So I just put it to the side, went, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to trust you there. All right? Because it was the very first house we ever bought outside of our own. And for many years, just struggling, I drove around it. Remember the prayer walks I described last week? Walked around I cast every demon out of it. I prayed the Lord's favor over it. I did prayer walks around the area at times. Penny doesn't even know this. She thinks I'm nuts. This is what you're married to, sweetheart. Get used to it. And I did all sorts of stuff, right? That picking thing was still on the wrong side of what we owed, et cetera, et cetera. Can I just say that this week we sold it and we made a profit? And I have to tell you, the reason why I'm telling you that is, flip, brilliant, we're going on holiday. But the other side of it is this, is we didn't market the thing necessarily. We didn't push the thing. We own it with another couple. Lots of stuff. Actually, at the right time, as we have been released from holding it, the Lord went, now it's time for you to be blessed by it. Because I have nothing invested in it. Do you get that? And actually, this week, I was going, actually, Lord, we kind of feel like we're in the stage now where though it's not a pressure to us to have it. And the Lord went, brilliant, now you've got past it, let me bless you. Isn't that amazing? Why? As my humanness and my lack of believing that he's good is dealt with, and I sense his grace, then all these blessings come upon you and overtake you. And you start to live, as Andrew Womack says, I love it, you start to live more blessed via on accident than you ever will do on purpose. Is that the way he puts it? Isn't that a brilliant way to think about it? As you pray. So the purpose of prayer is simply this. Lord, in those moments where I feel like, and you'll know what your humanness is because it's when it's based on you and what you're doing, that's you and works and not Jesus and his finished work. But I'm going to pray, which doesn't mean role play before you, but I'm going to sit and allow you to love me. And everything's going to come against you. You better remind him, remind him that you're not going to make ends meet. Remind him that you need a job. Remind him that you're unhappy. Remind him that you're sick in your ear. That's what we call the chimp paradox that chimp, it's a business thing. Always cheap it at your ear. Da-da-da-da-da. And it's interesting that if you will go, actually, Jesus, you become bigger. What do you think Jesus did? Think about it for one minute. As he removed himself time and time again to pray, to exchange with his Father and receive faith. What do you think that was like? Do you think he went, right, this is what's going on. See, them disciples, they're flipping nutcases. See your man. We need to, so just pray over him that he would. Do you think that's what the Lord did? Or did he just spend some time being loved on by his dad? He just allowed his dad to love on him. And as he was sort of captured and captivated and wrapped up in his Father's love, then he was able to stand and to speak. If we don't believe that, then what we do is we set up Jesus as some kind of Merlin the Magician who had just boom, boom. But he was a man like you and me. Fully God, but he was a man like you and me who grew in favor, it says, grew in stature with God and with men. In those moments of praying, not role-playing, simply exchanging. Now that rocks people's world because that's like almost cutting the ropes and starting to float. They go, do I really trust that he's good? Do I really trust that he'll love me? Do I really trust that he'll look after me? Do I really trust that I can just allow Jesus to become bigger? Wow. So what do you do then? I'll do this quickly because I'm going on my holiday soon and I want to get this done. Now, one of the interesting things is when we look at Jesus, one of the principles that he does talk about is about what you say then, because it is important. Like I said, you can't throw it out. In the verses that we read, three times he mentions what we say when we pray. And this does have a huge impact. In fact, let's not forget that in Proverbs 18, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So there's something incredible that comes out of your mouth, but it comes first from your heart and your mouth speaks it. The faith of God speaks, remember? Not just we speak in order that we hope that it will become. We speak whenever we believe and then we see it happen. That's the difference. Because we've exchanged our humanness for his faith. So I love this. So assuredly, it says, Mark 11:23, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart. When do you doubt in your heart? You doubt in your heart when it's about you. That's why you pray. Because when you pray, you sense grace shifting, right? So it says here, whenever says, when be removed and cast to the sea and doesn't doubt in his heart. So Jesus has already modeled out for us. He didn't have doubt in his heart. Why? Because he removed himself to exchange his humanness for faith. That's why he didn't doubt. But he believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Now, assuredly, the Greek word here is amen, the Hebrew amam, and simply means believe. And it's used at the start. So he says, listen, believe this, amam at the very start. And it was used at the start of a discussion. It meant truly or emphatically. It was an expression of trust and confidence. So what he's saying is this. Now, he's going to stretch you, but at the start he goes, assuredly, amam, believe. He says, I'm going to stretch you, but you can have confidence in what I'm just about to tell you. So he's trying to go, listen, it's really important. This just wasn't him saying something. He goes, have confidence in what I'm just about to say. Now, he talks about mountains. If you speak to your mountain, it's a brilliant illustration. Why? Because mountains are always something that, from our perspective, look big, they look massive, and they look huge. There's something that tower over us. And in our humanness, there's no way of getting around. I mean, if you go to Steve Donner today and you sit and look up at it, there's no way you're shifting that thing on your own. I mean, do you get me? never mind some of the bigger mountains. So Jesus is using this not just to literally mean mountains. He's using it to describe the things in your life that intimidate you, things that overshadow you, things that cast their darkness over you. And when you look at them, you go, there's no way that I can move this. That's what he's talking about here. Not just, I mean, if physical mountains in your life, brilliant, knock yourself out, all right? But that's not what he's really meaning here. He says that whenever you feel intimidated, whenever you feel that things are overshadowing you, he says, coming from that place of faith where you don't doubt in your heart and you believe them, speak to those things. Because death and life are in the power of your tongue. And to me, that was a biggie. That was my declarations of faith, like Elijah. It will not rain in this land. Boom. He didn't just didn't think it in his head, mumble it, walk around in a prayer walk, speaking to the pavement. He actually, when he had assurance in his heart, he then started to speak it out. And the truth of it is many of us approach God when it's about us and we haven't yet exchanged our humanness, and simply prayers become, you know, do you realize what's going on in my life? My mountain is massive. My mountain is absolutely huge. And Jesus says, actually, when you exchange your humanness for my faith, my gift, what you're going to start to understand is that what is in you is so much bigger than anything that's coming against you. So much bigger. Absolutely. So rather than simply talking to me about what you need, let me give you faith for what's in you so that you can speak to it and see it move. That's how you pray for the sick. Not fingers crossed, hoping with some kind of humanness that, you know, it said this somewhere in the Bible, and my heart is completely at sea with this, but I'm going to give it a rattle anyway. That's why 9 times out of 10 people don't get healed. But those people, it's not a formula. Those people are in the presence of the Lord, whose hearts are rooted and grounded in his love. Whenever they speak, something happens. Do you get that? When they sense that grace within them. I've got to say, honestly, stand with conviction and authority and go for it this week. You know, it's funny, whenever you're sick, what I'm learning to do whenever I need business, I don't stand and rebuke this and rebuke that. Whenever Jesus saw people who needed healed, he just said, be healed. Why? His heart was convinced. His heart was convinced. If you have been praying and it doesn't work, I've got about 5 minutes and then I'm done. It causes a lot of anxiety in people. Well, I understand then that actually this is why you keep telling us, Andrew, that we're loved, yes. This is why you just keep encouraging us to spend time with Jesus, allowing him to love us, yeah. This is why you keep coming from every different angle to show Jesus and his finished work, absolutely. Because that's when you sense grace. When he becomes bigger and you become smaller. Now, the question that we really need to just finish on is this. At what point, whenever you speak something, does God release his power? Is God's power manifested whenever you see it or whenever you spoke? I mean, what we're trained as people is primarily to respond to what we can see, taste, hear, touch, and see, because that's real, isn't it? So at what point did the fig tree, whenever Jesus spoke to it, at what point did it die? Did it die straight away, or did it die over time, or what happened? Mark's account actually explains it further. Because what happens is this. Whenever Jesus spoke, it took time for that to come through, but it was cursed from its roots up. If I can just go really quick. And that's, you can only then continue to stand in faith whenever you believe that you've spoken from a place that it is already done. And then we're not trained, because we're trained to see by what we can see with our eyes, but faith speaks even when it doesn't see it straight away. Hours pass before the manifestation happens. And that's what verse 24 now means when we're reading. The principle is this, that we have to believe, that's what faith does, that we receive from God at the moment that we pray. We receive it in that moment. And without any other hindrance, we should start to see that come to pass. That's the power of right believing. I'm going to talk about that in September. And so I want to encourage you, because I'm going to finish this off next week, actually, because I've got too much here and I need to finish. But I want to encourage you, I'm going to set this up again. I'm going to come at this again from a slightly different angle next week. Because I want you to understand that it's absolutely right that you speak to your mountain. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever is intimidating you, overpowering you and overshadowing you, by all means, simple declarations of faith. But allow those declarations of faith to be coming from a heart which has exchanged your lack for his fullness. Because when you do that, boom, things happen. And actually, can I just go a wee bit further? I have a feeling that most of us will see the blessing of God overtaking us. And at times we'll speak it, and at times it's just the Lord pouring in. Because he just doesn't bless you. Jesus just doesn't bless you because you ask for it. He blesses you first. Oh, come on. It's a blessing coming up in everybody in your life. Going, seriously? Where did that come from? What happened there? As you sense his grace in your heart. Oh man, that's good, isn't it? Such a release. So don't go out this week to Jackie Chan the devil. Merlin the magician's everywhere. You don't need to. Keep your eyes on a Jesus who in your life today is seated at the right hand of his Father. His work is done, finished, and perfect. And he says, come, let's take these times. This is why it's important. You know, sometimes it's interesting because Penny would often, with this I'm done, Penny would often shout at me and go, have you been praying? Because, like, she's a prayer, right? So unless I'm sort of on my knees in the living room, with like concordances all around me, she doesn't think that I'm a Christian. I remember I said to you, I pray often, but I don't really say prayers. I said that in week one. I find myself praying all the time, but I don't really say prayers. That's good, isn't it? And so Penny would say, and then I would talk to her sometimes about what the Lord's, you know, sometimes I'm thinking about this from a talk, and she goes, Flip, that's brilliant. When did you do that? I'm going, what do you mean, when did I do that? This is just what the Lord does. He kind of gives you moments of, or even just in the car, or when you're bathing the kids, or, you know, eating your dinner. It's like, when did we make this so flippin' spooky? What do you mean, when did I do? I mean, you know what she said to me on Tuesday night? She went, that talk was brilliant. When did you do that? I was talking about the woman with the issue of blood, how she was humiliated and debilitated and all this sort of stuff, and how Jesus says, look up, look into my eyes. It was good, wasn't it, for those of you who were there? And so Penny goes, when did you do that? Because you didn't see me doing it. Well, kind of the Lord just showed me. And you can see it in her eyes. She doesn't believe me. She doesn't believe me. I'm going, Penny, I keep telling you, darling. Just because you don't hear me saying prayers doesn't mean that I'm not praying. Whenever things are in my heart and in my mind, I'm bringing it to the Lord and exchanging faith as a result. That's how you can pray without ceasing. Because if we go outside of grace, pray without ceasing looks like 24/7, and that's a nightmare. God bless you. I can never get through an hour. Run out completely. Feel tired, exhausted, condemned. That's how you pray without ceasing. Today, as you go out and you listen to the Lord and the Holy Spirit, things come into your mind, and I'm going, so what do you think about that, Lord? How, where do I exchange? What do you say? How does that fit into your work? You know, and I'm, and then I feel my heart rest, and I'm sensing his grace. So pray for Penny, because she is still locked, clean in. Seriously? You have to sit at the dining room table and write it out in a book. That's prayer, isn't it, darling? Oh, she's raging. Look at the face on her. And so, but it's just to encourage you. That's how you pray without having to say prayers. And it's really good when you get time to do that, to bring it to the Lord and just go, help me. See, when we sing worship songs like we did this morning, where's my sin and where's my shame? That's prayer. That's you bringing your humanness, and you take that away and you sing that and you speak it out, play it in your car, you're starting to pray. When you start to see prayers exchange, you'll start to speak words of faith. Amen? Thank you.
these people.